chapter 11, verses 1 to 5, and you can find this on page 696. A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots a branch will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the Spirit of counsel and power, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord, and he will delight in the fear of the Lord. He will not judge by what he sees with his eyes, or decide by what he hears with his ears, but with righteousness he will judge the needy. With justice he will give decisions for the poor of the earth. He will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth. With the breath of his lips he will slay the wicked. Righteousness will be his belt, and faithfulness the sash around his waist. This is the word of the Lord.
The second reading is taken from John chapter 16, verses 5 to 16, and it can be found on page 1084 of the Church Bible. Now I am going to him who sent me, yet none of you asks me, where are you going? Because I have said these things, you are filled with grief. But I tell you the truth, it is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the counselor will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. When he comes, he will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment. In regard to sin, because men do not believe in me. In regard to righteousness, because I am going to the Father, where you can see me no longer. And in regard to judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is to come. He will bring glory to me by taking from what is mine and making it known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will take from what is mine and make it known to you. In a little while you will see me no more, and then after a little while you will see me. This is the word of the Lord.
Heavenly Father, we want to hear just one voice this morning. Your voice. Your still voice of calm speaking into our spirits. Your still voice of calm which speaks truth into our hearts. Your still small voice of calm which speaks courage into our fears. Thank you for your living word, and may your word inhabit every one of us this morning for your glory. Amen. So this morning we are continuing in our series from John's Gospel that Andy has entitled One Last Night. But I think that we could also call this series The Longest Night, for the night of Maundy Thursday takes up six chapters in John's Gospel, from chapter 13 through to chapter 18. We can easily picture in our minds the dinner that Jesus had with his disciples and the washing of their feet, which takes up the first half of chapter 13. And in chapter 18, we have the vivid account of Gethsemane, Jesus' arrest, Peter's denial, and Jesus standing before the high priest and then in the court of Pilate. We can easily visualize the washing bowl, the drawn sword, feel the heat and hear the crackle of the warm fire, or hear the cock crow. But John's Gospel is not a cartoon with every scene drawn on the page before us. John's Gospel particularly is far from being a quick read. The 4.5 chapters between that final dinner in chapter 13 and Jesus' arrest in chapter 18 contain just solid teaching. No vivid images spring into our minds, just quiet contemplation. And this morning, we are called to sit, to quieten ourselves, to listen, to ponder on Jesus' words. No pictures or sounds to distract us, just our Lord's voice speaking to the disciples, teaching the disciples, just our Lord's voice speaking into our hearts. There is much repetition in these chapters of teaching. Jesus needs to go over the same truth again and again. And we will be quickly looking at a few verses in chapters 13 to 15 that should have been engraved in the disciples' memory. It's really hard for the disciples to take in everything that Jesus is sharing with them, partly because so many disconcerting things are happening. Their master washing their feet, there's been talk of betrayal and of death, but also they probably have their own ideas about the way things should happen, the way they wanted things to happen. And maybe it's the same with us. But one thing was sure, Jesus had now hammered it home. He was leaving them. And they knew that they couldn't carry on without the presence of Jesus. The passage we are looking at this morning begins in chapter 16, verse 5, "But now I go away." But a couple of verses before, in the passage we looked at last week, Jesus says, "They will put you out of synagogues. Yes, the time is coming that whoever kills you will think that he offers God service." I spoke a few minutes ago about the word witness being the same as martyr. Yes, many of those listening to him would have been called to be martyrs. "But now I go away." Hang on a minute, Jesus. They are going to persecute us and even kill us because of you. You got us into this mess, and now you're going to leave us to it. Surely the disciples have every right to feel disappointed, even angry, and of course afraid of what that might become of them. Their minds were in turmoil. Jesus was leaving them, and they were also overwhelmed with sorrow. Jesus was abandoning them, and they were overcome by fear. They had already forgotten Jesus' words in John 14. "Let not your hearts be troubled." Jesus was still with them, but they had already started to feel alone. And Jesus says in chapter 16, verse 6, "Because I've said these things, you are filled with grief." But they had already forgotten another of Jesus' promises in John 14. "I will not leave you orphans." "Listen, if you love me, you will obey what I command. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you." How is this possible? Jesus is talking about death and yet proclaims, "I will come to you." How can this come about? Jesus is leaving because Jesus has things to accomplish before he comes back to them, but he needs to leave first. And he says, "But it's good for you that I go away." It's good for you. Those words bring me back to my childhood in the morning before I left for school. I can see my mum coming towards me with a spoon in one hand and a bottle of cod liver oil in the other. It's good for you. Ah, the taste was awful, but I drank it. Why? Because my mum told me it was good for me. And I knew that my mum loved me and I could trust my mum. Jesus knew and knows what is good for us, and we can trust him. He calls us to believe in him, to trust in him, to love him, and to obey him. Trust me, he says in verse 7, unless I go away, the counselor will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. Yes, Jesus would have to die, to be brought to life and ascend to his Father in glory before sending the Holy Spirit. But the receiving of the Holy Spirit is also conditioned by one other thing. Jesus promises to send the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, to those who obey him. John chapter 14, verse 15 says, if you love me, you will obey what I command, and then I will ask the Father, and he will give you another Counselor to be with you forever. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. Orphans, I will come to you. If you love me, you will obey what I command, and I will ask the Father. So there is this command to love Jesus. But also another command, chapter 13, verse 34. A new commandment I give to you, that you also love one another. Hang on. That you also love one another as I have loved you. Called to love Jesus, commanded to love one another. And again in chapter 13, verse 35, by this all will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. That is our first witness, the love that we have for one another. And what a powerful witness that love is in this church. And the Lord rejoices when he sees us coming together in love for one another. Yes, we are called to witness in the power of the Holy Spirit. And this power is the power of love. The two key points in these chapters are love and sharing. It is out of love that the Holy Spirit, the Counselor or the Advocate, will be sent. His first ministry is to glorify Jesus. And Jesus speaks about three things that the Holy Spirit will accomplish when he comes into the world: to expose and convict of sin, because it's the rejection of Jesus which is at the root of all sin. To speak about righteousness, the righteousness of Jesus dying on the cross, the righteousness that he bestows on us by his death when we accept his justification. And also to proclaim the judgment, the overthrow of Satan. Yes, the prince of this world would be judged, dethroned, deprived of his power over men. And even today, where we see that there's still this struggle with good, between good and evil, Satan's power has been destroyed. And in a few weeks' time, and in the power of the Holy Spirit, the apostles will go forth boldly to announce that Jesus is Lord and that the devil is overthrown. Believers will be freed from the hold of the devil over them. But those who reject the deliverance offered stay slave to Satan, stay addicted to sin. And here is a call to every one of us to believe and to trust in Christ, who forgives our sins and graciously covers us with his perfect righteousness. Oh, how complicated that all seems. They can't take it all in yet. And Jesus still has many things to share with his disciples, but not at that moment. They couldn't bear, or they couldn't even begin to understand the things that would come about, the things that they themselves would eventually be called and equipped to do. They would need the Holy Spirit to teach them. And the Holy Spirit is the teacher who illuminates Christ's teaching, who illuminates his word. The Holy Spirit gives us insight. He helps us to understand and the power to act. The disciples and ourselves would need the Holy Spirit to guide them into all truth. John 8, verse 32, "You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." And a verse from 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17, "Now the Lord is Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom." Are you free? Does Satan still have a hold on you? Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Freed from sin, freed from fear. The disciples and we are led to know the truth, led to know to whom we belong and who we are in Christ. Another verse from 1 Corinthians, "We have not received the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we may understand what God has freely given us." Just let's take a few seconds to let the Holy Spirit witness to us who we are in Christ. His loved ones, justified, free from sin, without fear, living in truth and in love. That is who we are. That is who we are called to be. And we are that because the Holy Spirit lives in us. So Jesus did not tell his disciples of all the things that were to come about. He said that they were incapable of understanding or bearing those things at the time. But he said that the Holy Spirit would come and speak into their lives, announcing the Lord's plans and equipping them for their calling. And these men would be called to preach, to plant churches, to heal the sick, to cast out demons. They could not do it in their own strength. They could not do it without love. The Holy Spirit was to be sent to them, and they would be sent into the world to testify to the saving grace of Jesus. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Cannes, and to the ends of the earth. Yes. So it is with us. The Spirit will be sent to us, and in turn, we shall be sent into the world to proclaim the love, the grace, the salvation offered by Jesus, to glorify Jesus. The Holy Spirit's function is not to attract attention to himself. It's not to promote himself. We learn in chapter 16, verse 14, that the essential role of the Holy Spirit is to glorify Jesus. And the same goes for us. We are not called to attract people to ourselves, but to mirror Christ's life in ours so that people will be drawn to him. And nothing gives more pleasure to our Heavenly Father than his children glorifying Jesus through their lives. We learn from verse 13 that the Holy Spirit will not speak on his own authority, but only what he hears from the Father and Jesus himself. And in verses 14 and 15, we are projected into the heart of the Trinity, that beautiful communion, the sharing between Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And it is in that communion that sharing that Jesus is also glorified. The Spirit will bring glory to me by taking from what is mine and making it known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will take from what is mine and make it known to you. All that belongs to the Father and the Son are made known, revealed to us. Not just little bits of information. All that belongs to the Father. And as the Holy Spirit is with us, we know that he has been sent because Jesus is now in heaven, sitting at the right hand of his Father, reigning in glory, in majesty and power. That belongs to the Father and to the Son. He has made all that known to us so that we may live in the same glory, which is the manifestation of his presence, in the same power. We are included in that divine communion, into that intimacy with the Godhead. The Father and Son share their hearts with us through the Holy Spirit. We are in on God's secrets. So let us go back a minute to chapter 15, verse 14. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. These bewildered, weak, sad, and frightened men are friends of Jesus. The gentle yet powerful indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit will transform their lives and project them onto the international scene to manifest the Lord's love for the world. The Spirit of truth has freed them from the lies of Satan and empowered them to love. Maybe we feel weak and frightened about the task ahead. Maybe we feel incapable of loving and serving as Jesus would have us love and serve. Friends, friends of Jesus, there is an answer. Let us pray. Holy Spirit, make your home in me. Help me to hear what our Heavenly Father and Jesus want to share with me. Transform me by your love to love and serve, to glorify Jesus. Amen.